God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ, you protect us from evil. By your Spirit, transform us in your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you on the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry." So one of the men who had accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he said, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord. We'll read the psalm. Please, congregation, please read the bold print. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed.
A reading from 1 John. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you've given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them. And I know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our first lesson from Acts of the Apostles, we hear the continuation of the apostolic ministry as Matthias takes the place of Judas. The apostles demonstrate how they are to move forward despite the loss of Judas, and that they show how they are united in prayer and purpose. It shows us what solidarity can look like amid those times of uncertainty and transition. Uncertainty and transition is certainly part of the human experience, because it seems that we're living in a time where certain fixtures in our society that we could count on are certainly in flux. Part of the human experience, but I think we're at a different part of what that looks like in our world today. We don't know what the future holds in many facets of life together. For example, 50 years ago, a person could typically work one job or have the same career most of their lives. But with changes in technology and globalization, a person could have a different career or as many as 12 jobs throughout their life. One of many things in which uncertainty is now the norm. In the life of the church in this country, particularly for Lutherans, the biggest debacle might be the change the color of the newest hymnal, right? That might have been the biggest debacle, or the fact that we needed a new hymnal at all, right? But now, throughout our denomination and synod, many wonder if they'll be able to get another pastor, or if they're going to be able to keep the doors of their congregation open. While uncertainties are constant and transitions are part of living, they certainly are manifesting themselves in different ways in which we could probably collectively point to the anxiety and tension that ourselves and others are experiencing. But all of this is what it means to be in the world. The mission of Jesus is being carried out by the disciples, and when looking in our gospel lesson from John, Jesus is offering what is known as his priestly prayer that acknowledges the difficulties of the world. Not just uncertainties and transitions, but the idols, the wolves, and the hostility that this world has to the good news. As Jesus said in chapter 17, verse 11 of John's Gospel, "And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." In our world, to alleviate the uncertainty and the transitions we are confronted with, we're filled with too many false prophets who promise a better tomorrow. And then there are those in the world that try to sell us the promise of happiness through materialism and consumerism. They aren't prophets, they just want to make a profit by capitalizing on our anxiety caused by our uncertainty. And then we are living in a time where the truth surrounding the most basic things is murky at best, and some of us are just resigned to giving up and figuring out what truth is anymore. Kind of reminds me of that scene later on in John's Gospel where Jesus is with Pilate in the conversation, what is truth? What is truth? But Jesus wants us and the disciples to be sanctified in the truth. He says in his prayer, "Your word is truth." But let's go back to the beginning of John's Gospel. Because we hear in the beginning, when the Word was with God and the Word was God, it moves to Jesus' time when the Word, meaning Jesus himself, became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. But that Word, that truth, will not be well received in the world. And as Jesus is offering this priestly prayer, as the church, we're called to be a people of prayer. And there's that tension in being in the world, but not of the world. And then what does it mean to be a people of prayer? Carmelo Alvarez says this, "A prayerful community takes seriously its intercessory role in solidarity with the victims of injustice and marginalization, while denouncing the root causes of these unjust structures and broken relationships through its active witness in the lives of people and in the world." I had a seminary professor that warned us that when you pray, you might be the answer to that prayer. When you pray, you might be the answer to that prayer. And he gave a story of how he wasn't ready to lose a friend that was sick, and that involved him taking care of him, right? You might be the answer to that prayer. While there are times when our prayers come from a place of helplessness, there are times where we can be the answer to our prayer. As I've said before, there are reasons why people hear the phrase thoughts and prayers as an empty platitude. It's because often those who say it may have the capacity to be an answer or part of the solution, yet they use prayer as a way to get off the hook. So if we're praying for peace in the world, how are we being a people of peace? How are you being a person of peace? If we're praying for people to be fed, for example, how are we feeding people? How are you feeding people? And when we embody that answer to some of our prayers, that word and that truth that we share in the world is not always going to be well received. Faithful people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood up to Adolf Hitler in the Third Reich in Germany, it cost him his life when he spoke and embodied that word and that truth. Faithful people like Martin Luther King Jr., who stood up and opposed institutionalized discrimination, segregation, and the dehumanization of African Americans in this country, that word and that truth cost him his life. And the world wants to put truth to death. And Jesus, the word, the truth, was put to death on the cross. But that would not be the end of that word and that truth. The cross would then be an instrument of eternal life, of the eternal word, of the eternal truth that we experience as God's faithful people, that people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King Jr. professed, but not only professed, it was an eternal word, an eternal truth, and the eternal life that they were immersed in and wrapped in by the love of God in Jesus Christ. We are people of prayer, but we are people of a new creation and a new beginning. John's gospel starts with the beginning, and in Christ, we're invited to participate in the new beginning that we have, in the new creation through the crucified and resurrected Christ. That new beginning with the one who is full of grace and truth invites us to shine light in the darkness and to speak truth, to speak that word of God's love that tears down injustice, that points others to Jesus, to a world in which we long for it to be on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's an answer. That's where we can be part of the answer to that prayer, where it be on earth as it is in heaven. Another seminary professor of mine, Dr. Vitalis Hoffman, really dives in to this passage in John's gospel. He writes that this section of the prayer is framed by truth and is repeated and has a significant theme in John. Jesus affirms that the disciples know the truth of its origin from the Father. In verses 17 and 18, Jesus asks that they be sanctified in the truth, which is also confirmed as God's word. All this comes from what Jesus, the Word, had previously said in John 14:6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But what does it mean to be sanctified, to be made holy in the truth? Because this sanctification has a purpose. As Dr. Vitalis Hoffman said, it is intended as a way for the disciples to be sent forth to share the truth and the word. It's a way of being it's not a way to be taken out of the world, but being sent into it. We're not being removed from the world. We are always being sent into the world. And what does it mean for Jesus to sanctify himself? Dr. Vitalis Hoffman says that's Jesus laying down his life on the cross and taking it up again in the resurrection. As we hear in John 15, verses 11 to 13, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So it's another invitation, but warning, that following the way of Jesus costs us our lives to a degree. Now, it doesn't mean that that always has to be a physical martyrdom type end, but it is a life of sacrificial love and living. And if that sounds like a tall order. I mean, today is Mother's Day, right? That's a vocation filled with sacrifice, is it not? And willing sacrifice for many, right? I think of, you know, in marriage, nobody gets it right, but if we're entering it in a way where we sacrifice for the other out of love. We don't think about it at times, right? And it's the same thing for a mother or father, for parents. They sacrifice for children, but they do it without thinking of it. They wouldn't think that they would not do it, right? It's what we do. And then I hear grandparents just want to give it all away, right? Just empty themselves, right? Fully embodying the image of Jesus in that, right? What Jesus is inviting us to is not just to love our own tribe, though. It's that we would love one another in a way that it expands beyond those whom are in our own household or family. That kind of sacrificial love and giving our life for others. And then being in the world, willing to lay down our lives or put our bodies in between the oppressed and the oppressor. We are in the world. And as the Father has sent Jesus into the world, so too Jesus sends the disciples into the world to continue this mission. So to be a disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we gather for worship just to receive a word of encouragement or to leave here with warm and fuzzy feelings from worship and just go on our way. The disciples knew that this wasn't just about them, that they needed to continue the mission of Jesus when faced with uncertainty. And we too are called to continue the mission of Jesus when faced with uncertainty. That's the reality in life. That's the reality of the church in every age. We continue the mission. This isn't about us, but it's about going into the world and sharing the good news of what Jesus has done for us, for all of us. And in a word of uncertainty, Let us be bold in our certainty of God's love in Jesus Christ. Aren't there people longing to hear that in a world of uncertainty? That there's a God that chooses us? That there's a God that will never let us go in life and in death? Because that's the truth that we share when we point to Jesus and when we point to the cross. In a world of uncertainty, we're certain that our loving God does not approve of people being placed in harm's way. In a world of uncertainty, we are certain that people are not to be treated as objects, as means to an end. And in a world of uncertainty, we know that peace is not accomplished with force and violence. It is through the cross and the empty tomb that we are certain that God loves you and that God loves the world. And the power of the cross and resurrection calls us to be a people of prayer, a people of peace, and a people of love that proclaim and embody the word, the truth, Jesus Christ. And we are called to share that mission with others. We are called to share that word and that truth with others. That God loves you and will hold you in life and in death. And that we are certain of this promise. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Bread of heaven, here on earth.
us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. You sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Send your church out into the world to spread love, to spread your love and joy. Embolden all bishops, pastors, and deacons, especially Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, to be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your creation groans under the strain of pollution. Preserve melting glaciers and dwindling forests. Help us all to be good and faithful stewards of your creation. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your people seek wisdom, understanding, and peace. Guide all those who govern and inspire them to work on behalf of the most vulnerable in our midst. Keep safe first responders, those serving in the military, and those whose duty it is to protect others. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your children need your loving care. Protect them from all harm. Comfort those in any affliction, especially Justin, Susie, Scott and Connie, Marlene, John, Dan, Eileen, Jerry, Pat, Michelle, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Paul, Tracy and family, Candace, Dixie, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Bill, Jeff, Thomas, Jim, and our homebound. Support those who grieve and bring solace to those near death. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your spirit lives within us here. Inspire the work of this congregation and unite us as one. Bless all the mothers in our midst. Console those for whom this day is difficult and gather us all under the care of your loving wings. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your saints dwell with you in light. Keep us ever thankful for those who have gone before us in faith. Inspire us by their witness. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love, through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our
thanks
and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
We give you thanks, Father, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you sent in this end of the ages to save and redeem us and to proclaim to us your will. He is your Word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your Word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to a death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of the church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous by method of intinction. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations of consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the lectern side. Intinction is the method of receiving the host and dipping it into the chalice of your choice. At this time, I'd like to call forward those who are participating in Children's Church as well. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell the whole world of his love.
Let us talents and tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. Bread is broken and wine is poured. Christ is spoken and seen and heard. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, roads abound. Jesus is again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, wolves abound. Christ is able to make us one. At the table he sets the tone, teaching people to live, to bless, love in word and in deed express. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, wolves abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, wolves abound. Jesus calls us in, sends us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt. Gives us love to tell, bread to share. God Emmanuel everywhere. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, wolves abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, wolves abound.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
Announcements for the good of the community.
Good morning. I'm going to be out in the narthex after the service with sign-up sheets for Vacation Bible School. We're looking for adults, young adults, and teenagers to help with VBS in June. You also should have found an insert or a flyer in your bulletin today that you can scan a QR code to sign up kids for Vacation Bible School or share that flyer with friends, family, neighbors. And our goal is to hopefully have 30 kids a night, so we'll need lots of help if we can obtain that goal. Feel free to ask questions, and I'll be out after the service. Thanks.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Thine the amen, thine the praise, hallelujah's angels. Thine the everlasting head, thine the breaking of the bread, thine the glory, thine the story, thine the harvest, then the cup, thine the vineyard, then the cup is lifted up, thine the life eternally. Thine the promise, let there be. Thine the vision, thine the tree. All the earth on bended knee. On the nailing, on the railing, on the pleading, on the cry.
Gone the sighing, gone the dying, what was lost lifted high. Thine the truly, thine the yes, thine the table, we the guest. Thine the mercy all from thee, thine the glory yet to be. Then the ringing and the singing, then the end of all the war. Thine the living, thine the loving, evermore, evermore. Thine the kingdom, thine the prize, thine the wonderful surprise. Thine the banquet, then the praise, then the justice, all thy ways. Thine the glory, thine the story, and the welcome to the least. Wonder all increasing at thy feast, at thy feast. Thine the glory in the night, no more dying, only light. Thine the river, thine the tree, then the Lamb eternally. Then the holy, holy, holy celebration jubilee. Thine the splendor, thine the brightness, only thee, only thee.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.